My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message is The Touch of Jesus. Our text, Mark chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. After 400 years of silence from the Old Testament, Malachi, to the New Testament, the first two words God sent to man through an angel is recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Fear not. Even though 2,000 years have passed since Gabriel spoke these words to Zacharias, we still need to remember and believe this phrase. In spite of man's weaknesses and frailties, through the gospel of Christ, God has made provisions for us to go to heaven. It's hard for us to come to grips with this, isn't it? How difficult it is for us to rely on God's promises or even believe that God will determine the outcome of all things for His glory and our good. In spite of the uncertainties of life, we don't have to be afraid because God has promised to never leave or forsake those who are in Christ Jesus. This is worth more than all the riches of this world combined. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. During His earthly ministry, Jesus not only lived a sinless life and preached the truth in love, He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He associated with people who the Pharisees and scribes considered untouchable. One example of this is found in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus heals a leper. Leprosy was a skin disease that slowly eats away the flesh layer by layer until a person bleeds to death or their body parts fall off at the joints. It was clearly one of the most dreaded diseases in biblical times. Lepers were to do two things. First, cover themselves, especially their mouths, to keep from spitting on anyone. And second, they were to announce loudly that they were unclean, so others could keep their distance. This morning, we will discuss the miraculous healing of the lepers. We will see the disease of leprosy is a type of sin, and we will show the cure for leprosy is a type of salvation from sin. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Now the leper came to Him, imploring Him. After delivering His Sermon on the Mount, a leper came beseeching, imploring, begging Jesus. Have you ever begged for anything? We can almost feel the pain, loneliness, rejection, and isolation of this man. He knelt down and inclined his face to the ground. This leper knew enough about Jesus to know he was worthy of worship. This desperate man was humble and submissive. If you are willing. He did not demand God to do it. Whether or not he was cleansed depended on God's will. Is this not the attitude that we must have in every circumstance of life? How many people try to tell the Lord what to do and then shake their fist at God when they don't get what they want? Whether we are considering plans for the next 10 years or later on this afternoon, our constant prayer must be, Thy will be done. If you are willing, you can make me clean. His prayer was brief and to the point. With just a few words, he acknowledged the Lord was able to grant his request. This leper gives us a pattern for acceptable prayer. Instead of sending away this leper who had broken the law by coming to him, Jesus was moved with compassion. Here was a pitiful situation that appealed to the Son of Man. The word compassion means to feel with. Franklin Camp said, compassion is never inactive. Compassion always acts to relieve the pain, heartache, and suffering of others. It is said that the most compassionate people are those who have experienced what another person has gone through. How often have we had compassion on others and did nothing to try and help the situation? That is not biblical compassion. Are we compassionate? Should the Lord's church be known as compassionate people? It is tragic beyond measure when others are seen as more loving and compassionate than the church. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched the leper and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." It would have been a violation of the law of Moses for Jesus to touch a leper. Did this act make the Savior unclean? Luke chapter 5 verse 13 indicates the saying of Christ and healing took place at the same time. When Jesus said, "I will," there is the desire on the part of Christ to correct the situation. And with that statement, immediately the man became clean. If he was not cleansed of leprosy, Jesus would not have touched him. How long had it been since this leper had been touched? Lepers were not people who experienced the joy of human touch. To have Jesus reach out and touch him was a demonstration of love and compassion he had never seen before, or at least for a very long time. Have you ever been in a situation where you did not know what to say? Oftentimes, a handshake or a hand on the shoulder is enough to show that you are interested and care. When others ran in the opposite direction, Jesus did not hesitate to help. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. I am ashamed to say that there was a time when I was untouchable. If you would have known me early in life, you may have said, "Oh, there's no hope for Mike." But Jesus had compassion on me and sent Linda's father with the good news of the gospel. And through repentance and scriptural baptism, my past sins were forgiven. Here's a bold statement. There was a time when you were untouchable. Outside of Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But God had compassion on us by providing His Word and sending someone with the saving message of the cross. Now in Christ, we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ through obedience to the gospel. Ephesians 2 verse 13. Jesus is interested in all people. It does not matter what color they are, what condition men find themselves in, or how society looks upon them. Jesus came to seek and save the fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and all those the world runs away from. Does the need for God's compassion end after we are baptized into Christ? No. After conversion, there are times when we are untouchable because of willful sin. Our fellowship with God is broken. Yet through confession and repentance, a compassionate God restores fellowship and remembers our sins no more. In God's eyes, there are no untouchables. The gospel is for all. We should be willing to share the gospel of Christ with any and everyone who will listen. After being cleansed, the leper was commanded to tell no one of his cure for two reasons. First, Jesus wanted this man to comply with the law of Moses, Leviticus 14, verses 3 and 4, and verse 10. If the leper complied with the law, then the Pharisees and scribes could not accuse Jesus of breaking the law by touching a leper. And second, Jesus needed to be known as the bringer of God's good news, not as a miracle worker. But he got carried away. Instead of obeying the Lord, he went and told everybody what happened. This is what happens when we talk too much. If he would have listened more and talked less, he would have made it possible for Jesus to do more in that area. His disobedience made it necessary for Jesus to leave and go elsewhere. The psalmist said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Psalm 141, verse 3. James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." James chapter 1, verse 19. Although the context of James chapter 1, verses 18 through 22 is hearing the Word of God, the principle applies to our physical hearing, words, and actions. How often do we find ourselves in difficulty because we talk more than we listen? Someone said, "The reason God gave us two ears and one mouth was for us to listen twice as much as we speak." And that's about right. The disease of leprosy was a type of sin. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses regarding the priesthood. The punishment for Miriam's sin was to be stricken with leprosy. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." For whatever reason, Miriam and Aaron had a problem with Moses' marriage to a woman of a different ethnic background. He did not marry one of his own kind. Is my marriage to Linda a sin or wrong in any way? What about other interracial families who attend here at Culpeper? Those who believe that marriage between partners of different ethnic backgrounds is sinful or wrong, in my humble opinion, should repent quickly of prejudice before God strikes them with leprosy. And then again, Naaman was a leper. Elijah told him to go and dip in the Jordan River seven times, and he was cleansed. When Naaman tried to pay Elijah, the prophet said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." But Elijah's servant Gehazi ran after Naaman and took the money. What was Gehazi's punishment for his sin? Leprosy. King Uzziah went into the temple and tried to officiate as a priest, which was a violation of the law. What was the king's punishment for sin? Leprosy. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 19 through 21. Let's compare leprosy of the first century to sin in the 21st century. First, at the first sign of leprosy, or anything that looked like it, the person had to present himself to the priest for an examination. One of the things that always needs immediate attention is sin. When one is guilty of sin, it needs the immediate attention of repentance, confession, and forgiveness. Number two, the leper was not allowed to use his own judgment to determine if he had leprosy. He had to go to the priest, God's appointed man, who would determine if it was leprosy or not. God the Father has appointed His Son, Jesus Christ, to be judge of all. and He has given us the inspired Word by which we can measure and determine what is right and wrong. And then again, leprosy was something that was loathsome and grotesque. The leper had to cover his mouth and say, "Unclean, unclean." Paul said, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Romans 12, verse 9. Number 4, leprosy could have an insignificant beginning, just a little spot. It may start out on the hand, but in time would spread throughout the whole body. This is a picture of the destructive nature of sin. Paul said, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Timothy 3:13. A person does not sin a little bit and stay there. Sin waxes worse and worse. This is true in reference to an individual, a congregation, and a nation. Number 5, unless stopped, leprosy will affect the whole man. Sin does the same thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting." Sin affects our judgment and ability to make moral decisions that are consistent with God's Word. Number 6, leprosy is contagious. Sin is also contagious. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits." 1 Corinthians 15:33. Does it matter who you hang out with? Yes. Does it matter who you marry? Absolutely. Can you remain faithful to God by forsaking the assembly? Not at all. And number 7, lepers were excluded from the society of the healthy. Unrepentant sinners are excluded from communion with God and His saints. Sin caused the wicked angels to be cast out of heaven. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Sin caused our first parents to be cast out of paradise. Genesis chapter 3. Sin makes it necessary for the church to withdraw fellowship from ungodly members who refuse to repent. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. And unrepentant sin will keep many out of heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 and verse 27, Galatians 5, verse 9. And finally, the cure for leprosy is a type of salvation from sin. The leper came to Jesus to be healed, and sinners must come to Jesus to be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The lepers had heard of Jesus and His miracles. Sinners must hear Jesus through His Word. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Satan tries to bypass the importance of the Bible by getting people to appeal to their feelings, conscience, their preacher, the Pope, visions, dreams, or the creeds and doctrines of men. The words of life are contained in the Bible. All other books cannot save. The leper came to Jesus conscious of his disease. He understood his true condition. Sinners must come to Jesus conscious of their sin and aware of the wages of sin. Paul said, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The leper had faith in Jesus and His power to heal. The sinner must also have faith in Jesus and His power to save. John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus touched the leper, and he was immediately healed. Our sins are forgiven when we come in contact with the blood of Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. According to the sinner's prayer, the new man forgiven of sins goes down into the water, and the new man comes up out of the water. Scriptural baptism involves the old man of sin goes down into the water, and the new man forgiven of sins comes up out. The cleansing of the leper came before the touching, and the touching suggests the idea of fellowship with God. We have the same idea in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have fellowship when we are cleansed by the blood and as we walk in the light. Remember, Naaman was told to dip in the Jordan 7 times. What if the water was cold and he only dipped 6 times? Would he have been cleansed? According to the New Testament, there are 5 steps to salvation. You must hear God's Word in order to have faith. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ and only Savior of men. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. You must make the good confession of faith, like Martha made in John chapter 11, verse 27, and you must be baptized for the remission of sins. Most religious people do not have a problem with the first 4, but when it comes to baptism, they refuse because it makes no sense. Before we can claim forgiveness of sins, we must follow the 5 steps of salvation. All 5 steps. Then and only then can we publish our salvation with confidence. Baptism for the remission of sins is essential to salvation. Without it, you will one day hear those heartbreaking words, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Let's end with this question. What is worse, to die a painful death with leprosy or to die in your sins and miss heaven? Compared to an eternity without Christ, leprosy is a bed of roses. Someone this morning may be asking, what must I do to be saved? According to God's Word, there are 5 steps to salvation. You must hear God's Word in order to have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 24. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess Christ before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins, not because your sins have already been forgiven by saying the sinner's prayer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After conversion, we must walk in the light as He is in the light and remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.